listening to The Naked Scientist. Now, you might not consider looking to cartoons to help you keep you up to date with science, but you could do much worse than watch an episode of The Simpsons. The people behind the Nature podcast took a look at the science in Springfield and found out that it's better than you might think.
If you're looking for science on TV, you probably wouldn't turn to a show about a dysfunctional cartoon family whose main intellectual thinker is an eight-year-old girl. But if you look closely, The Simpsons is one of the most scientifically literate shows around. And that's perhaps unsurprising, given the fact that the show's head writer, Al Jean, studied mathematics at Harvard. I asked him whether there are any parallels between cartoons and maths.
I look at comedy writing mathematically. It's sort of like a proof where you are trying to find the ideal punchline for a setup, and when you get it, it's a very elegant feeling, and it is a little like the feeling I would get completing a proof when I was doing math in college.
And he's not alone. In fact, most of the established writers on the show have a scientific pedigree, and it's a pretty impressive roll call.
Yes, Ken Keeler, who wrote for The Simpsons and Futurama, has a PhD, mathematical PhD. Bill Odenkirk, who writes for The Simpsons, has a PhD in chemistry. George Meyer, a longtime Simpsons writer, was a science... I can't remember what his major was, but it was definitely in the sciences. And Stuart Burns, another Simpsons and Futurama writer, had math degrees. And, you know, when we're alone, you know, we sort of talk about math. But again, we've learned that there's a wider world, and we don't always, like, expose others to it, or we do it in a subtle way.
I know. And this perpetual motion machine she made today is a joke. It just keeps going faster and faster. Lisa, get in here! In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
There's also a scientific theme running through the new movie. Alongside typical Simpsons absurdities, such as Homer falling in love with a pig, the plot also features the looming threat of climate change, prompting Lisa to present an Al Gore-style lecture entitled An Irritating Truth. In fact, throughout the show's 400-episode history, it has often fallen to Lisa to speak up for scientific rationalism, perhaps most notably in the episode in which she attacks Springfield's decision to abandon the teaching of evolution. It made me wonder whether the writers have a specifically pro-science agenda.
Our general agenda is to display both sides of an issue and to let the viewer make up his or her own mind. In that particular case, I believe evolution is so scientifically well-founded that it's hard to have any sort of intelligent alternative to it.
Creationism? But that's not science.
It is now. This helpful video will evade all your questions. iScreenWord!
So you're calling God a liar, an unbiased comparison of evolution and creationism. Let's say hi to two books. One, the Bible, was written by our Lord. The other, The Origin of Species, was written by a cowardly drunk named Charles Darwin.
This is slander! Darwin was one of the greatest minds of all time!
Then why is he making out with Satan?
Of course, The Simpsons also has fun with scientists' social image, especially in the case of the painfully awkward Professor Frink, who one suspects would trade in all of his inventions, such as the sarcasm detector, the frog exaggerator, and mood pants, for the chance just to get a girlfriend. But more seriously, and as someone who has spent time in the scientific community, Al Jean worries about the negative portrayal of science and scientists in much of the mainstream media.
And it's sad because, you know, in my life I've seen science viewed as sort of the savior for everything, and it's almost come full circle where, you know, because nothing can completely solve everybody's problems, the disappointment when that happens is extreme, and now people are, you know, casting scientists as villains or, you know, not listening to them, which I think is tragic. You know, 50 years ago, Albert Einstein was the epitome of scientists among the public and regarded as a hero, and there isn't anybody comparable today, and I think it shows how science is, you know, been made by some to appear in a, you know, more ambiguous light.
That's not to say that contemporary scientists haven't appeared on the show. Over the years, The Simpsons has featured scientific luminaries such as Stephen Jay Gould and Stephen Hawking, and the writers haven't been afraid to give them scripts that delve into the relevant subject matter.
There is nothing, you know, purer than mathematics in anything, of all the things I've ever studied. people seem really thrilled to that we've had Stephen Hawking on the show, and no one could be more thrilled than I.
Stephen Hawking!
The world's smartest man!
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see your utopia, but now I see it as more of a fruit-topia.
I'm sure what Dr. Hawking means is...
Silence. I don't need anyone to talk for me, except this voice box. You have clearly been corrupted by power. For shame.
Larry Flint is right! You guys stink!
Yeah!
I don't know which is a bigger disappointment. My failure to formulate a unified field theory, or you.
So if you worry about science getting a bad rep on TV, you can take solace in the fact that Springfield, at least, is on your side. That's assuming, of course, that you think science is worth caring about.
Science? What's science ever done for us? TV off.
That was Mike Hopkin from the Nature Podcast talking with Simpsons writer and Harvard mathematician Al Jean. And incidentally, the Simpsons movie is out in cinemas near you right now if you want to go and see it. I've seen it and I thought it was great fun. Have you seen it, guys?
No. I haven't been yet, but I do quite like the Simpsons.
We were all giggling here in the studio, so I think you should pay a trip and have a good laugh, I think.